Hello, this is a meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee of the Pacifica National Board. My name is Alex Steinberg. I'm the chair of that committee. And we are about to convene. So we need somebody to call the roll. I'm the chair. Our secretary, Nancy, is not present yet. Does somebody want to volunteer to call the roll?
I don't have the roll. I'll take the notes, though, and take the minutes until Nancy gets right here.
That would be terrific. I guess I can call the roll if you wanna mark down who's
I'll,
present.
I'll mark it down. What time did we go on? I didn't get that.
It's like now 8:38.
Okay.
Carol Travis.
Here.
Okay. Mansoor Sabbagh. Okay.
He reminded Jan to come, so he should be coming.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's not present yet. Who just joined?
No, that was my computer.
Oh. Jan Goodman.
I'm here.
Joseph Davis. I think he's not here. Robin Collier.
Robin's present.
Tony Leon, he said he wouldn't be able to make it. Nancy Sorden. Okay, not present yet. Alex Steinberg, that's me. I am present. We have a quorum. I sent out a draft agenda, and let me read that, and that so that for the benefit of those listening. Let's see.
I have it in front of me if you'd like me to read it.
I just have to find where it is on my computer.
Okay. It's roll call for 2 minutes, approval of the minutes, 10 minutes, underwriting discussion, 60 minutes, bylaw amendments, 15 minutes, new business, 10 minutes, adjourn, 10:30 p.m.
Okay.
I move we accept the agenda. Also, I move that we accept Tony's excused absence. So that's two motions.
Well, I think technically there's no such thing as an excused absence in a committee, but we can mark in the minutes that he asked for an excused absence. So at least there's a record of that.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. So are there any amendments proposed to this agenda or any objections? Okay, the agenda is approved by consensus, and let's move on to the first order of business, which is minutes, and we have a bunch of minutes to approve tonight, and I'm not sure if these are all the remaining minutes or not. I only received one correction that I'm aware of. Are there any other corrections to the minutes that were submitted for tonight?
Well, Mansoor's here. Sorry for being late.
Okay, thank you, Mansoor.
Thank you.
We're into the approval of minutes, Mansoor. You can always make corrections later, by the way. Robin proposed one correction to the minutes I submitted. I didn't see any other corrections come over.
May I move?
Yeah. Could you? Do Do you want to move to accept all the minutes?
Yes. I would like to move to accept all the minutes that we had sent to us previously. I think by you and by Nancy, and I think Tony also sent minutes.
Didn't you send some minutes also?
Oh, and I sent minutes too. So all the previous minutes that we have received, I move that we accept them.
Okay, but we need to specify the date.
With any necessary corrections.
Yeah, we need somewhere in the minutes we need to specify the dates of the minutes that we're approving. We don't have to do that right this minute. We can do that later, but just
it's
so
all the ones we received, and we'll go back and look at the dates.
Right. Okay. Are there any?
And with Robin's correction and any other necessary corrections.
Okay. Any objections? Okay. The minutes that were submitted tonight are approved. And
This is Jan.
Yes.
I think that we need to make sure that we get those dates before the end of this meeting. So who is being assigned to look for those dates?
If somebody wants to volunteer, or I can do it while, you know,
I just think that we need to get it done today, and we can't just let it float around. That's all. And so Alex, thank you.
Okay. I'll give you the dates before the meeting is ended so that we get those into the official record.
Thank you.
Which is it's a valid point. Okay. All right, so the next item on the agenda is underwriting. We've had several discussions on underwriting in the past, I'd say in the past 18 months, actually. Since we started the strategic planning committee. And I think it's time for some decisions on that. So I submitted a proposed a motion. And allow me to read the motion, and then we could begin discussion. Here's the motion. I'm calling it Motion on Restricted Corporate Free Underwriting. Be it resolved that a pilot program be established for a restricted form of corporate-free underwriting to proceed at WPFW and WBAI for an 18-month trial. At the end of that period, the Pacifica National Board, together with Pacifica Management, will evaluate the effectiveness of the program. A template for an underwriting contract will be created by the ED and submitted to the PNB for final approval. All underwriting agreements must use the template. Every proposed underwriting contract must be submitted to the Strategic Planning Committee of the PNB for their review. No agreement shall be entered into with any entity that has a record of being anti-labor, anti-environment, or promotes racism or sexism or support for militarism, nationalism, or xenophobia. Our partners in underwriting will be nonprofit community organizations, small local businesses, and public interest and cultural foundations. Each underwriting contract shall be individually negotiated with input from Pacifica's FCC attorney. An underwriter may not dictate the content of programs. An underwriter may support an individual program or a category of programs, for instance, music and arts. A station may only broadcast an acknowledgement of the underwriting grant, either at the beginning of the program or at the end of the program. The frequency of on-air acknowledgements can be negotiated. The acknowledgement should not be longer than 10 seconds. And that's the motion. We're open for discussion. Who would like to be on the staff?
Maxie will be on the staff.
Okay, Maxie, I guess.
Mansoor as well.
Okay.
Mansoor as well, please.
Okay. Anybody else?
And Carol. And do we want a time or not really? Because we've got 60 minutes.
Well, we have 60 minutes for this. I don't think we have to strictly time it, but try to keep your remarks, like, you know, under 3 minutes. I mean, let's see how it goes. Okay, Maxie, go ahead.
Okay. First of all, I want to acknowledge that I'm thankful that you've put this forward so that we can vote on it and move it in one direction or the other. So I want to thank you for that first and foremost.
Excuse me for a second. There's an echo. And Carol, you coughing.
Oh, I'm sorry. I forgot to turn it off. Thanks.
Yeah. Please mute your phone. All of us, not just, you know, except the speaker. Thank you.
Yeah, okay. So anyway, first of all, thanks for putting this forward. My overall thought when I read this is that it's too restrictive. And there's a number of things I've highlighted that I think are problematic with the motion. First and foremost, I would offer that if we're going to do this as a pilot, I think we should pilot it across all 5 stations. I think what's clear in looking at preliminary financials is that every one of our stations can benefit from an additional revenue stream. The second thing is I think an 18-month trial is far too long. I'd like to see that cut down to 6 months. I think within 6 months, we'll have an idea of whether our stations know how to implement underwriting properly, whether they're benefiting from it, and we'll also have an idea whether the response from audience is problematic. So I would reduce 18 months to 6. The next issue that I had was this notion of submitting the contracts to the Strategic Planning Committee of the PNB for review. We don't meet frequently enough, nor should this board committee be that deep in operational activity, in my mind. And so I would argue that contracts should be managed within the station framework. The general manager should be held accountable, since we don't have development directors or business managers could be held accountable for making sure that the policy is adhered to. We can certainly listen in on stations to see how they're doing it. Members of the committee who represent the different stations can serve in a role of sort of overseeing to see how practices are done. But the bottom line is there are ways to verify whether underwriting is performed properly. We can mandate that all the spots are pre-recorded, making sure that they are done properly in that fashion. We can get logs to ensure that they're placed at the right time. Etc. The next issue I wanted to bring up that I thought was problematic is that each underwriting contract shall be individually negotiated with input from the FCC attorney. That's a cost prohibitive approach. Each time the FCC attorneys deal with our documents, our work, it's in the hundreds of dollars per hour. The last thing we need to be doing is countering the revenue opportunity with an expense like that. Again, I think what we can do is ensure that our policy is FCC compliant with the attorney. But once that's done, I think we're good to go. And again, we can manage it at the station level. And the last thing I'll acknowledge at this point is that the 10-second rule is too short. The standard industry standard approach is that spots underwriting is usually between 15 and 30 seconds. I think 15 is a reasonable minimum or maximum if you need to have that. It allows the proper information to be presented without violating any of the FCC policy. That usually entails the name of the organization, contact information, whether it be a website or a phone number, the type of business, some kind of articulation of the type of business or service that it provides. And then the usual kind of opening or close that says that, you know, programming on this station is sponsored in part by, et cetera. So those are just a few of the things that I thought were problematic that I wanted to highlight and think would be good for discussion. Thank you.
Okay.
Nancy,
Hi, Nancy. I think Jan was next on the stack, then Carol, and then Mansoor. So, Jan?
No, I was actually before. I was actually after Carol, and probably after Mansoor.
No, you go
Mansoor
ahead.
Mansoor is next. Mansoor is next. By the way, I've gotten the dates on the minutes, I think. So I'll give you those later.
Okay.
All right. Sure, thank you. Mine is very brief. I think contrary to what all the other underwriters are, that I support this program, this and that, I think what we need to do in order not to get in any of our underwriters get into, quote-unquote, any trouble, is to say that this organization, X and Y, it's supporting free speech at Pacifica. And, you know, mentioning that rather than to say, I support this program or that program, you know, so it'll be more of an issue orientated, like a freedom of a speech, voters' right, end of death penalty, end death penalty, no racism, separation of a state and church. Those would be the concepts that the underwriters support, not the individual programs. And I think that might be much better and larger issues than just, you know, individual things that they want to do. That's all I wanted to say.
Carol?
Okay. A couple of different things. One is that the way the motion is written, although is narrow enough that I probably, for political reasons, would abstain on the vote rather than vote against, and think it's good enough to actually maybe I'd actually step out and vote yes. But I think it must be a pilot program in a couple of stations. It's and I think it should be long because I think that some of the stations, I think both BAI and W are interested in having this, soliciting advertisers and then clearing them, or underwriters, is expensive, and anyway, that's all I have to say. I don't have a lot to say.
Okay, I think Jan, you're next.
I sent out to everyone the underwriting contract and information from I'm one of our affiliates. And
Wart. W-O-R-T.
Yes, W-O-R-T.
When did you do that?
About a week ago. And and one of the interesting things that they do is that they their underwriting is by I'm not sure if it's only, but it's largely, it is nonprofit. They're underwritten by nonprofit, and it's something that, you know, maybe we might want to think about as maybe a first step. I don't know, but I think we should be putting that out there as that is a first step. And one of the things that they also do that I thought was very interesting is that they charge the nonprofits, like for announcing events or for whatever else that they do, they charge them like a certain amount per repeat with a minimum of like 10 or 20 repeats. So it might be a charge of $30 a spot, but with, you know, a minimum of 20 repeats, that's $600. Anyway, I think that approach is something that we should seriously consider as one way of going and one group of entities to promote to. Thanks.
Carol for the stack.
Let me respond a little before we go around again. First, responding to Maxie, I have no problem with making the pilot, the duration of the pilot shorter. As a matter of fact, 18 months was what you first suggested to me, Maxie. So if you want to make it 6 months, that's fine. We can review the status after 6 months. I have no problem with that. I also have no problem with taking out the clause about every contract must be vetted by an FCC attorney. I didn't quite mean to say that. I think I meant to say something like if necessary or something like that. Clearly we don't want to add legal costs to every single contract. And the other thing that you mentioned about the requirement for a review by the Strategic Planning Committee. The Strategic Planning Committee is perhaps not the ideal place for a review of underwriting contracts, but I do think there needs to be some body of the national board that does review the contracts. I don't think we can go ahead without that. Ideally, if we had an executive committee of the Pacifica National Board, that would be the best place for such a function, but we do not have an executive committee. I'm not wedded to the idea that it has to be the Strategic Planning Committee, but since the initial motion came out of the Strategic Planning Committee, I thought that might be the most convenient place to drop it off. As to whether we want to extend the pilot to all the stations, that's a tricky subject, and I'm not sure how I feel about that. I'd like to hear what other people think.
Robin, to this tag.
Okay. Robin, you haven't spoken yet, and then Carol. Go ahead.
If you implement this, I mean, I'm not sure whether I'm in favor of implementing underwriting, but you have to make it practical. You have to make your definitions in this direction so that they're unambiguous. For example, it's a small local business. That could be anything. You know, there's lots of small businesses that are incorporated, that are limited liability companies. You know, that's almost impossible to define. And, I like the idea of just having the nonprofits. That's much easier to communicate to the public and potential underwriters. You have to have enough time to get this out. 6 months is not really going to tell you very much, I have to say, because it's so ingrained in people's mind that you don't do this. And you have to get someone to go out and talk to nonprofits and so wherever you're going to do it. You have to give whichever station is going to do it some freedom. I've worked with a number of stations here in New Mexico that do underwriting, and, you know, it's a lot of work to get the underwriting. It takes person-to-person contact. So I agree with Maxie. You have to be clear in what you're doing, and having a lot of review is crazy because, I mean, how can the Strategic Planning Committee know the businesses in New York or Washington and be able to evaluate whether they are meeting these criteria? It's very, very difficult. So, like I say, I think clarity in terms of who you're excluding or including has to be really spelled out so everybody can understand it if you want this to work. Like I say, we don't do underwriting because, you know, even small businesses and nonprofits have a lot of agendas, and if you take their money, you're going to be thinking about, are we going to be, you know, offending this particular, even a nonprofit, you know? So it has to be thought about. That's all.
Okay. Thank you. Carol?
A couple of things. One is, I think, Maxie, you have to put the stuff that you want to change in writing. And I think that this is going to end up being a longer conversation. And it can, you know, go to the PNB, whenever it gets there, with your stuff in writing, too, along with this. Second, the point that Robin made just now, that it takes time and energy and personnel and costs in order to go solicit these things. And so it's not just something that then is money-making. It will absolutely cost money. And particularly the stations, probably like BAI, which is in New York, which has such a low listenership, is going to have the hardest time. So the time frame of 6 months, I think, is not giving it enough time. And so there's that. And finally, I want to just say that nonprofit is a tax identification. It's not a moral, I'm losing words these days, but it doesn't give, it's not a moral category. There are a lot of terrible nonprofits. And in fact, a lot of the nonprofits in education, which pose as wonderful education nonprofits, are actually structured as nonprofits, but they're money-making things, and a lot of Koch brothers' money goes into those nonprofits that undermines public education, and also healthcare. A lot of healthcare stuff is really bad stuff. Because it supports, even in nice language, things that doesn't deal with the issues of healthcare in the United States. So I think that there does have to be some sort of political review of what's happening. Otherwise, we're no longer meaning. You know, we lose our major identity as a progressive, national, corporate-free, communication system, our singular, unique identity, and driving a lot of staff to do that rather than really understanding that cleaning up and doing good programming is where we can expand our reach and therefore the people who contribute to us.
Mansoor would like to be on stage. Mansoor would like to be on stage.
Okay, Mansoor, go ahead.
Sure. I'm just wondering if the reason that we want to get underwriting has to do with financial ills that we have. And I'm wondering if the foundation was operating normal, normal businesses, like having a development director, having somebody who knows how to write grants and bring in money, would that be more sufficient than having underwriting? Just because we haven't functioned business-wise normally for close to two decades, I don't know if underwriting would solve our problem more so than getting a normal business operation going, having a general managers that we need, program directors, HR person, and development directors. You know, those might actually bring in as much money as getting a nonprofit to give us $1,000 a month. You know, that's $12,000. That's not a half a day. That's about a half a day of fund drive for us. So just an idea.
Max,
I'm done.
Just a quick response to Mansoor. One doesn't exclude the other. So, and the main reason we're bringing this up is because management has been asking for it. So, I'm not at all clear that this is going to be successful. I'm actually kind of skeptical about the whole idea, but I would since management is asking for it, and some members of our management seem to think it will be a major source of funding for us, I'd like to give them the option to try it. That's all. Go ahead, Maxie.
Yeah, a lot of response. I want to address Carol first. I look forward to a call where we talk about underwriting where the fear tactic is not brought into play. There's boogeymen around every corner. We could have donors who are boogeymen, who are doing evil things and supporting us. I think that play is tired, and we need to move beyond it respectfully. We've had presentations from greater public. There's a lot of evidence on their website as to how to do underwriting successfully. I'm actually surprised that we've come up with a motion that is so off the grid with respect to industry standard and practice. And that's no slight at Alex. It tends to be the way, you know, we want to do things at Pacifica. It would be good if we were doing amazingly innovative stuff that nobody else was doing and it worked. But as a lot of the kids say, how's that working for you, is a common phrase that could be applied to a lot of the practices at Pacifica. The bottom line is we're known for more than just being non-commercial and non-corporate. We're actually known for being a progressive window on the American conversation. That's really what we're known about. And I think that can always be protected if the content is strong. But there's I want to make it, first of all, let me address a couple things. I'm fine with extending it back out. If I said 18, then I apologize for critiquing it. I still would want to shorten it. I think a year is more than enough. The original thing I propose is that we let all the stations be given my original proposal is that this unit, this committee and the board create policy that is universal and that every station be given the opportunity to decide whether they wanted to engage in underwriting or not. And that can be a local station board decision, a vote as to whether they want to engage in underwriting or not. I think once NETA reveals our financials, having seen what our 6-month projection looks like, once those are revealed, I think it's going to be abundantly clear that we need additional revenue streams as a business model. We're one of the few enterprises in non-commercial media that doesn't diversify its revenues enough, and I think that's why we suffer. There's a reason why stations went to underwriting. There's a reason why they experiment with new revenue streams. It's because the membership model is getting tougher and tougher, and as we get to younger generations, it's going to be even harder and harder to successfully implement. However, let it be known that it is hard to fail at underwriting if you put the proper resources and use the proper techniques. All of our stations are in major markets, the top 10 markets in the country. All of our stations fit in them. There will be no shortage of underwriting opportunities for our stations. And as long as they follow our policy to the letter, this can be a controlled experiment that I think will be quite prosperous and fruitful without compromising our ethics and our ethos. And so I just, want us to stop bringing in the horror show when we've been given all the information to dispel these notions, and we're smart enough in the management level and at the board level to implement something and make sure that it's taken care of. I think everybody in leadership at our stations, on the board level, are interested in preserving the integrity of this organization. And I think we will all make sure that any underwriting policy that's put in place will adhere to that. And I just think we need to put systems in and trust the staff at the station level to operate the policy appropriately. That's all I got to say for now.
Are we still
Alex?
There? Alex, are you talking?
Sorry, I was. Yeah, is there any further discussion?
I will say one more thing, Alex, if I may. There are templates for policy. There are templates for underwriting script. There are templates for underwriting standards and policy that we can apply. We don't have to make this up. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. So I will take Carol's suggestion and reply to this motion with something perhaps straight from our membership at Greater Public, something that I think will give us a better idea of sort of the industry standard around this. I know that we want to tailor things to be Pacifica specific. That makes sense to me. I agree with that. But we don't have to go to the extremes that I think we see in this motion. The notion of any board being involved in approving underwriting is completely unheard of. I've never heard of that in any shop I've ever been in. It's way over the top in terms of the review process. Underwriting often happens very quickly. Underwriting is bought on a Thursday for Friday on the air for the weekend. If you've got an arts organization that wants to promote the low-selling tickets of some kind of cultural event that's happening at the art museum, that would be non-offensive politically, but the bottom line is they're looking for an opportunity to get the word out for people who fit the psychographic of a Pacifica listener. Those underwriting spots, sometimes those buys happen with a day's notice. The last thing we need to have to do is get any kind of committee of the board involved in approving copy or the vendor, that kind of thing. To me, that's just dramatic overkill and retards the process in a way that is just onerous and completely outside of the standard practice of underwriting. So again, let's not reinvent the wheel. I will submit something a little closer to industry standard, and we'll see where that goes. I promise to do that. Thanks.
Maxie, just to clarify the intent of
and Jan Goodman on the staff.
The intent of the motion was not that all underwriting contracts have to receive a prior approval from the board or a committee. I do think that the board or a committee of the board needs to be informed of every underwriting contract. And if that committee or members of the board feel there is a problem, then they should be able to raise that issue in a timely manner rather than be taken by surprise months later and finding out that we had a contract with what seemed to be a benevolent organization that turned out to be backed by tobacco money or something like that. That was the only intent. It wasn't that you had to get prior approval before you go ahead with the contract. Okay, Jan, go ahead.
Well, I was going to kind of address that same issue. And maybe an appropriate thing to do would be to just say that, you know, that either the LSBs or maybe the National Board, I think the National Board, be given a monthly report on, on our underwriting clients or donors are, and have some kind of input into have the ability to have input if the majority of the TNB or the majority of whoever feels, and it may be a committee, it may be something, because we've had a lot of experience here in Los Angeles where we have premiums that may sound good, but then and but then it turns out that they're, you know, just, you know, smoke and mirrors. Like we had a, you know, a thermos that was supposed to be filtering nuclear radiation, and it was held, and which is impossible. I mean, if it was filtering it, then you'd end up with a thermos that was radioactive. And it took a lot to get that off the air. And so we need to have some kind of a mechanism. Like, as Matthew says, I'm sure that everybody who's doing this, by and large, is doing this in good faith, but they just may not realize that, you know, what, you know, that there's, that something is amiss on occasion. And there should be some mechanism to both review things on a, just on a regular basis. Chances are people aren't going to be looking at it on a regular basis. But, you know, just a report, just like you'd have any other report saying, you know, who our underwriters are, and the ability to scrutinize that. And Maxie, I'm sure that you could probably come up with language that would be appropriate to that.
I will. And I'm sorry, I lost the call for a second, so I missed the end of Alex's statement. So I apologize. I heard most of it.
You heard mine, right?
Most of it, yes.
Okay.
I'm not sure what part of what I said you missed, but I was just reiterating that I did not intend my motion to mean that every single underwriting proposal has to go through a lengthy approval process by a committee of the National Board. Simply that I think that it needs to be some kind of mechanism whereby the board or a committee of the board is informed of all the underwriting contracts that we're entering into. And if need be, we can take a look at who the people are, and if there's anything about it, we'd know a lot quicker than being taken by surprise. Jan made the point that a kind of analogous situation has happened with some of our premiums in the past, where we're pushing a premium that seems to be on the surface something that could be beneficial to.
Yeah, that's what I came with.
And in fact, it is some kind of a sham premium.
Yeah. Yeah. Let me respond to a couple of things. First and foremost, the fact that we're thinking about the board, the national board, being involved in a station's underwriting just really seems out of whack to me. I could see appointing, at the very most, a member of the LSB to sort of be in some kind of advisory role to vet underwriting contracts at the local level. I could maybe see that. But when do we as a board appreciate the fact that we've got professionals working in our buildings and let them operate with an understanding of policy so that they can use their discretion and make sure that things are done properly? I do agree that we could have, and we should, I think it's part of the normal rule of engagement to identify who the underwriters are, and that certainly can be made known on a weekly basis to a committee if necessary at the national level, but certainly to someone at the local station board. I just think this notion of the national board and any committee within it being involved in the underwriting of a station on a local level, that just seems way out of control to me, and an overreach of, you know, enormous proportion. Again, we've got to trust that we've put professionals in place, that they can follow policy, that they have our best interest, and that they can do their jobs in a substantial way. And if we don't feel that way, then there's been some really bad hires made if we can't trust that process. And this whole piece about the membership, I know about some of the premiums. I know that some of our most popular shows do premiums that apparently have been detrimental to people's health and heard that one person died from one of the premiums that was given, and there's all kinds of things like that. That's a whole nother bucket that we could swim in terms of, you know, the types of premiums we give. Again, boogeymen and bad things happen everywhere. I don't think you can approach this from a fear position. You have to look at this as an opportunity, not an obstacle. You have to put the due process in and the policy and hold people accountable. If underwriting is done poorly, the business manager or the general manager or the program director should be held accountable for that. That's how you implement policy with you know, carrot and stick, if you will, not by a national governing board overseeing and eavesdropping in. I would argue that there's not one national board that's been involved in a local station getting a grant from a foundation, and certainly not reviewing whether that foundation grant made sense. So I can't even imagine the precedent for this. So that's my thoughts on that.
Robin, to the stack.
And Jim, you're muted.
Nancy was on
the stack too.
Nancy, you haven't spoken yet. Go ahead.
Okay. Wanted to make a suggestion to the motion, just sort of combine a couple of the lines. First of all, I want to say this is just a great discussion and the wonderful launch of this venture. And I think y'all are working out a lot of the bugs and details right here, and I'm going to submit some additional wording changes in a minute. But I wanted to the reason is because I want to suggest that all these things that you want a committee to review can still be done after the contract comes out, if we have a contract that says something like, if it just says all agreements shall have in the contract that, you know, that they are not, that they don't have a record of being anti-labor, or, you know, the wording that's in that one line, or that they're supported by any company that has such a record. If we could put that in the contract that the underwriter has to sign and say that if we find that you do have this record, then your contract will be null and void, something like that. And that way you can address Maxie's concern about these needing to be done, you know, in a few days, and still a committee can still review. You know, they can take the time to look at the company to see if, in fact, they don't have a record of any of these things. And so I'm just suggesting that, and I'm going to forward wording changes to this motion that Alex sent.
Okay. Who was next on the stack?
I was on the stack. Jen was.
Jack, go ahead.
I was trying to figure out which would be the least intrusive way that there could be some governance influence on in the oversight of the underwriters. And so that's why I said national board. I don't really care. It's a local board. You know, there's thoughts of getting rid of the local station boards. I just want there to be some ability to have some oversight if there's some, you know, egregious issue, some problem, because, you know, when different people have different ideas about what is appropriate, what is true information. You know, what is medicine? What is alternate medicine? What is fairy dust? So I am just wanting to have, and this I have experience with, that we cannot trust whoever happens to be, you know, sitting in the seat of power at this point at KPFK. Maybe everywhere else you can just trust all the management to have, you know, knowledgeable, good sense. But sometimes, you know, sometimes here in Hollywood land, La La Land, we don't necessarily have that kind of good sense. So I don't care if it's local station board, national board, special committee, but there needs to be some kind of ultimate input by governance, you know, just to keep things, just to make sure that the listeners have some input into reality.
Back to the staff.
Robin, still on.
I think I have a solution after Robin.
Robin, then Maxie, and then I want to say something more. Go ahead, Robin.
Okay, well, I agree. I totally agree with Maxie that there's no way that, you know, the National Board should be supervising every one of these contracts. That's just totally impractical. But the policy has to be clearly stated so that those local stations know exactly what they can accept and not. And I think Nancy's idea is good that, you know, if you have a clause in the contract that says, you know, you signed the contract for 10 spots, but the station has the right to cancel the contract and return your money at any point for whatever reason, basically, listeners are going to tell you that, you know, this particular business is awful. And so then you want to have the right to be able to cancel the contract. Most underwriting in the stations that I work with, they have all kinds of packages that go, you can sign up for a whole year of underwriting and you get a lower rate. And so it's quite typical that someone might sign a year contract of underwriting. So you have to have some kind of provision in the contract so that you could cancel it if there is a problem. And I think that would allow for the review that others are talking about, is if it turns out that someone's really awful and it's brought to the attention of the station, they can cancel the contract and deal with that. So I think it can be practically done. But if you're going to really make this happen, like I say, I'm not sure I'm for it even, but you've got to make it practical on the local level. The person that's out there selling the underwriting has to know what the policy is. They certainly are going to lose their face if everything is being reviewed and turned around by someone else. So it has to be really clear. That's all.
Maxie?
Yeah, I think I might have something that might please everybody and would involve a layer of governance to be involved in the process. So maybe we should look at this in almost an inverted way and say that we're going to charge our local station boards with the task of identifying 100 local underwriters who fit the criteria that we as a national board or committee set as all stations that do underwriting must fit under this honor system of, you know, can't be this or that or whatever. If we charge the local station board with identifying 100 potential underwriters, then we make it a situation where we vetted already the potential underwriters. The local station board has done that work. They've collectively approved this list of 100. And any potential underwriters would have to be vetted by the local station board to be considered added to the list for the underwriting executive in our shop to even go after them for a package. So this way, what you have is a layer of governance that from the outset is identifying the only potential underwriters to go after for underwriting in the first place. The policy would be clear. It would be now an aspect of just executing the deal, if you will. But we've vetted the potential underwriters on the front end. It also gives our CAB members, and I mean our CAB, keep going to CAB, our local station board members, an opportunity to be quite useful in a revenue generating aspect of the organization. Certainly, if you've got a LSB of 20 some members, 24 members or whatever, asking each to come up with 4 or 5 should not be too hard of a task, and considering all of the engagement that they have in the communities that they live in. So I just wanted to put that out as maybe a solution that might be satisfactory to everyone on the call to put forward, to engage our LSBs to do this process along with the staff themselves.
Carol, for that.
Yeah, thank you, Maxie. Let me just respond, and then you can speak, Carol.
Okay, and after Carol, Jan.
Okay, again, part of the motivation for the review, and I'm not going to say which kind of review is better at this point, is that while none of us, I think, want to be in a position of micromanaging, we also do not want to give 100% carte blanche to management. And there are good reasons for that, and it has something to do with some of the recent history of Pacifica's management. I will be the first to admit I do not completely trust Pacifica's management in always making the right decision and always having the best sense of judgment. I would like to see that situation will dramatically improve, and I think there has been some improvement recently. And I would like to see management do that on their own, but I do not wish to completely give up my right as a director to review operations, and I don't want to have to review it months after the fact. So that's the reason why that's there. And yes, there are many things we could do to prevent bad practices. We could certainly tighten up the language of proposed contracts. And by the way, there are lots of templates out there. I sent some templates out myself early on in this discussion. We have a template of WM&F's contract. We have Jan sent one of WORT's. I'm sure public media has many templates that we can use. So, I mean, it's sharpening up the language is kind of the easy part of this. It's our idea of how we want to manage this, or that's the hard part. And finally, I'd like to propose that. Do we want to go ahead with a motion at this point, or do we want to possibly postpone until we meet again? And you should be aware that the next meeting of the Strategic Planning Committee will be after the new Pacifica board is seated. So there may be some discontinuity. There's no guarantee that any of the current members on the Strategic Planning Committee will remain on the Strategic Planning Committee. I think except for Robin, but all the other players will have to be renewed by the new national board. So that's another consideration.
Nancy to the stack.
Okay, Carol, then Nancy.
No, Carol, then Jan, then Nancy.
A couple of things.
As Nancy, I just wanted to say that I sent those amendments, if you want to look at them. And then I'll still keep on the staff to describe them.
Okay. A couple of different things. One is that if you have the LSBs going out and getting people in Berkeley, you'll get zero because the LSB is against this.
I didn't say go out again.
And wait a minute. I'm talking now. I have the floor. And okay, you take the floor.
No, you got it. I just say what I said correctly. That's all.
Well, what did you correct?
I didn't say that they go out and get underwriters. I said they can simply identify viable underwriting candidates.
Okay, that's what I'm. The remarks stands. People on the LSB are not going to do that here. And also, Quincy is a. And if you give it to the manager, Quincy is a radio guy. He's into programming and figuring out how our radio station really is vibrant and viable, and gets an award nationally as the best local radio station in the country. And he's going to have, even if he was in favor of underwriting, which I think probably all managers are, because they all are looking for ways to get money, and if it's presented as something that can do this, I think he'd be in favor of it. But he'll have no time or ability or interest or expertise to do that. He's a radio man. And also, usually, underwriting is secured by people who go out and get a cut. You know, they secure it in exchange for getting a percentage of the contract. And that's how work is done. And when you have that, you also have people who, because their money is secured, they're going to be a little wishy-washy about the policies, because our policies are so rigorous, I think. And but I think this is a good discussion, and it's a good beginning discussion. I think it should go to the next Strategic Planning Committee, and you can be freed of me, Maxie. And because this is a big deal and a big shift, and I think that the newly elected board should be the board that makes such a move. And so this is an opening discussion for that, in my opinion. That's it.
Maxie to the staff.
Okay, well, we had, I think Jen wanted to say something more.
Mansoor for Stack, please. Mansoor for Stack as well.
Okay, you know, Nancy has not spoken nearly as much as me, so she can go before me and Mansoor.
Okay, Nancy, go ahead.